I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Burrow's furniture is built for the way you live. From ensuring easy assembly and disassembly to honoring highly requested new colors for their award-winning seating, they always have their customers in mind. Their modular seating is made out of durable materials to last and grow with you. And with Burrow, you always get fast, free shipping. Get up to 60% off during Burrow's Memorial Day sale at burrow.com/acast. That's burrow.com/acast. burrow.com/acast.
Okay, Zaki Lomax, let's get straight into it. Dragons defeat Warriors. Zaki Lomax with another incredible performance, ironically, gets moved to centre and says, hey, that doesn't matter, I'm still going to keep playing. Could you imagine if you went there and had a Barry Crocker?
Oh, God.
Flano would have been sitting in the press conference, like the box going like this the whole game. I was right, but he went back to centre. He absolutely killed it. All jokes aside about predicting his form, but, you know, usually when you hear some of the greats of our game rap a young kid, they're usually on the money outside of obviously attitude. Like, is their attitude fully dedicated, blah, blah, blah. And, you know, Lomax has had good years before, but now that he seems to be fully committed to, you know, just ripping and tearing each game and just getting as many touches as possible, all the raps that we heard Brad Fittler, we heard, you know, Joe, all the boys that had wrapped Lomax up, they're absolutely right, because his ability to impact a game and make, not only he can do the big stuff, he can do the tough stuff, he can do stuff that no one else can do. Like, the most, him at his best ripping and tearing is arguably one of the most well-rounded outside backs in the game.
I remember talking to Jamie Soward about 2 years ago about him when he was, like, you know, assistant coach and helping out with the Dragons. And I remember Soward, he said something along the lines of, mate, I played alongside Mark Gasnier and trained with him every day for a couple of years, and Gaz would just do shit that no one else could. And he said, mate, sometimes you watch Lomax at training and you would think he's better than Gaz, the stuff that he's able to do. And now we're finally starting to see some of it come together. Like, I remember when I was a kid and used to sit there and watch Friday Night Footy and whatnot, and, like, it felt like at the end of every set, you just kick the ball in the air and there'd be an aerial contest. And it's sort of gone out of the game a little bit. Mm. Watching the Dragons now, it's just hold the ball to your fourth, kick it into his postcode, and he'll come down with it. Yeah. He's doing it every single time. It's unbelievable. And, you know, we said earlier, he's leading the Dally M's. There's been a number of occasions where he's come down with kicks and needed an offload or whatever. And I think his teammates have let him down in certain moments. Like, he could have had even more points.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. Like, it's almost like whenever he wants to impact the game, just give him a good enough play to allow him to, and he'll do it. Like, he'll nail it.
Well, what about when he went up and caught that one on the weekend? He came down, he's about 2 metres out. He probably could have scored himself, but he just sort of went, oh, here you go, Kyle, you put this down.
Yeah.
He's just had all the time in the world.
The thing with Lomax now is, though, is, mate, you've set the standard now.
Yeah.
Like, there's no going back. There's no, oh, this wasn't working, that wasn't working, because it's not just the big players that are working for him. He's doing all the tough stuff as well. So it's that double-edged sword of, like, when you go to the Eels and if things aren't going your way, there's no longer allowed to kind of, like, for example, the last couple of years, we could all sit there and go, ah, the Dragons, not the best place to be at the moment. Development not that good. Some of the younger players haven't come through as well as we would have hoped due to the system not being that great at the moment. It's like, mate, you're in a team that a lot of people tip for wooden spoon and you're leading the Dally M's. So, like, the standard has been set. If you're fit enough to cross that white line, you don't necessarily have to have these crazy plays, but at the very least, we want, you know, 20 to 25 runs from you and 150 to 200 metres.
And could you imagine how many people, journos, would have been sitting out there before this game thinking, okay, Lomax has got his contract and he's playing centre. If he goes shit here at centre, I'm going to write straight away. So you're a winger dickhead.
Yeah.
Listen to your coach. And or, well, you got your contract. Now you're not playing to that standard. And Lomax comes out and absolutely kills it.
Yeah. And look, we've said it since it all happened. But I think that, you know, anyone that has bought the narrative that he's just a sooky player that's like, I want to play centre and that's why I'm out of here. It's like, that makes no sense. Does that look like a sooky player to you? Mm. Like, no, it doesn't. Now, does it mean that his attitude has been perfect for the last 5 years? No, not necessarily. When has any young player been perfect for the last 5 years? But the narrative that he is just, he wants out because he's not playing centre, I think that has got to be cleared up by now, because if that was the case, he wouldn't be ripping and tearing the way he is. I think it is a mutual situation where the Dragons have looked at it and said, we've got an outside back on 750K right now as a club. That is not where we should be putting our money. And then Lomax has said, well, you know, I've been at this club for 5 years now. It hasn't seemed to work out. Maybe I need a fresh start. What do you think about Lomax at the moment, Timmy?
Yeah. And look, if there is internal shit going on, he's not happy there and he wants out and doesn't want to be there, well, it's a credit to him for coming out and giving his absolute all every time he plays. Because he hasn't missed a beat the entire season for them. Effort errors have been outstanding. Have we seen a better player contesting high balls? Because, like...
Maybe Folau.
But even the way Lomax, like Folau did a lot of his on the wing and just jumping high and he was near untouchable. Lomax is doing it, like even in previously in his career, was doing it from centre and just chasing them and jumping over the top of them. It's not like that Crossfield kick on the corner post sort of thing. He's done his whole career, but he's starting to do it every single week. As Guru said, it's just the game plan. Get through your set, keep to him, he'll jump over and score.
Yeah, and that's the difference for me. It's a small sample size of 7 weeks, but with Israel Folau, and mistake me if I'm wrong, but I remember the vast majority of Israel Folau in the air was kicked to the winger right in the corner.
Just spec,
Lomax is tracking through people, and you see, like, teams are obviously talking about it every single week. When the ball goes up, get the fuck in the way of Lomax. And he just makes it work and gets there every single time. Even their shit kicks, he gets there.
Well, the best thing is like, if he can continue this form up of the catching and that, because blockers have been pretty much a race from the... Not a race, but like nowhere near what they used to be. Like you could honestly barely get a freaking catch on the ball a couple of years ago. And it could be one of the best weapons in the game. Yeah. Because at the very least, you're going to rattle the fullback.
And even like you're on the wing, Izzy Folau, and yeah, it's quite different, but it's crossfield kick. They're kicking it into your mitts coming across to meet the ball. Mm. Lomax chasing those kicks, like it's going away from him. It's going into the fullback's mitts and he's jumping over the top of them. Like there are no favours there.
The flight.
Yeah.
And like there's been plays over the last few weeks. Like he's playing right wing. He's catching bombs on the left tram.
Catching bums on the left tram.
Catching bums.
Jesus.
He's not right.
What footy are you watching on the weekend? Jesus Christ.
Lomax with a double X.
Yeah, so Lomax has been outstanding. And I tell you what, if you're an Eels fan, you're sitting there going, oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Like, we have been, you know, starving for an outside back, and this guy playing like this and doing it consistently. And again, the beautiful thing is a lot of his stuff, it's hard work stuff. It's not just he's, you know, taking a run and it's a mad flick pass. He has that in his game, but it's the – so what's he had 20 – how many runs do you have on the weekend? 21 runs on the weekend, which I think is on the lower end. You know, so great stuff by Lomax. This game was just great for me for the Dragons overall. Obviously, that's our power play brought to you by LDVT60 Lomax's plays. What I loved about this from the Dragons was, A, their patience and their confidence. Like, they didn't even... The Warriors come out and the Warriors are playing great footy and you're sitting there going, oh, here we go. It's going to be a clinic. And the Dragons just kept turning up for each other, just kept turning up. And before you knew it, momentum swings with a penalty coming out of their own end. And what was so... don't mean this disrespectfully, but what was so surprising with every opportunity that the Dragons got, they took. Every opportunity the Warriors got, they didn't take. And that was the difference between the two sides, at least in the first half. It was Dragons were genuinely, if they got half a sniff, and heading into the season, if you said that the Dragons would be the best attacking opportunities, you would have said, mate, that's like, if there's anything that they don't have, it's that attacking prowess, it's that big moment in game. They were incredible. Every single sniff, every single half error by the Warriors, Dragons scored points.
They scored basically their first three cracks on the Warriors' line.
Yeah.
After defending their ass off for the first 20 minutes.
Okay, this is apologies, I should have brought this up earlier. This is why Lomax is having the year he's having. So he comes out in the second half. He takes the second run after the tap. After the kick. So front rower takes a hit up. He takes the second run. He takes a one-out hit up. He fights for every metre, so he keeps charging, good post contact. In that same set, he then chases a bomb to score. And that's a mixture of tough stuff and brilliant stuff. That is a mixture of basically saying, I'm going to force my way into this game. No matter, like, personally, if he doesn't take that second hit up, I don't know if that second play lands for him. And the kick play lands for him. And that might sound silly, but you would be amazed. Like, all the advice outside backs get before running on the field is take a carry early. That's always what is. And for some reason, I don't know what it is, but any time that you're not engaged in the game where you don't take a hit up early or you don't get involved, opportunities just don't seem to come your way. When you're doing what Zach Lomax is doing, which is literally forcing his way into the game with the tough stuff, the brilliance follows. And that one set is why Lomax is leading the Dally M's as well. Like that one set, he took the second carry off a hit up. Like when it just, Lomax didn't used to do that kind of stuff.
Yep.
And then the big stuff didn't really happen for him as much.
To be leading it in one of a side that was tipped to be bottom four, if not bottom two by most, playing on the wing and obviously centre on the weekend, that's so crazy.
Mm.
In a side also with Ben Hunt, who like when the Dragons win, it's normally Ben Hunt six.
Yep.
But
yep.
I don't want to be disrespectful to the Dragons, but if he's not in the side, I think like they're a good footy side, but I think they could be bottom four.
If Lomax isn't playing the way he is.
How many points are coming through
here? Yeah. Well, what did he score on the weekend? Like 14 points or something? Mm-hmm. Like, 18 points or something? Like something crazy.
And like the amount of repeat sets he forces just by getting up for the ball as well, because you can see fullbacks, they've got one eye on just where he is and where he's coming from. So I reckon without him, they'd it'd be a very different season.
Yeah. Yeah, so with the Dragons, another understung hero for me, I think Little's been outstanding this year for him in his minutes that he's played.
Yeah, he's been great, Jacob. And he's always had ability, Little. He's always, you know, when he was coming through the grades, he was an absolute gun, and just injury just held him back every single year. Mate, I think another unsung hero, Tommy Eisenhuth.
Oh, Eisenhuth, yeah.
Mate, you know Tommy Eisenhuth made his debut in 2012? For the
really?
Panthers, yep. Then he didn't play first grade for 7 years. Lobbed in Melbourne Storm in 2019, played 50 games across the next 5 years at Melbourne. I'll tell you what I thought was really interesting. Watching the Dragons last year, and they would quite often have that Saturday 3 p.m., the 5:30 game, and Shane Flanagan would always be calling it on Fox.
Mm.
And I remember he always used to absolutely give it to the way they were utilising Jack DeBellin. That he didn't like him as a 13. He wanted him to play as a front row forward. And I listened to it all year going, sure, mate, but who do you want them to play at 13? Who else can play that role on this side? And then they signed Tommy Eisenhuth during the offseason. I thought, okay, we'll see.
Honestly, when they signed him, I was like, that's the last thing the Dragons need is a battler forward getting through his tough stuff.
He played 57 minutes on the weekend and made 56 tackles.
Only missed one.
Maniac.
And he, like, even as a 13, like, I didn't see him as a 13 either. I agree with you, mate. Eisenhuth has been outstanding for him.
He's been in the NRL now for 12 years and he's played 60 games.
Mate, he's been so good.
And even like when we spoke about preseason, like where's the spark in this Dragons pack? Where's that X factor? And you're like, all right, they've signed Luciano Leilua. There he is. Didn't even play on the weekend.
And they scored 30 points. Yeah.
I'm just on his profile here for the Dragons. And he's 31 years old. His nickname, they call him Eisengoat, which I'm all for.
Love that. Love that from the big fella. Now, Moses Suli, let's talk about him. Mate, I think he's been so frigging good for the Dragons. And I love the fact that I feel like for a couple of years, he was doing the tough stuff. He was coming at his own end. But there was no, like, play set for him. Like, there was no, we've got this absolutely giant centre and we have no set plays for him. He's fast. He's explosive. He's strong in contact. What I love at the Dragons at the moment is he's actually getting a specific play made for him. That try that he scored where he just ran that hard unders line. Try stopping Moses Suli. There. Like, good luck. Good luck. And we saw in the trials, similar situation, the double drop under, him coming hard at that three or the two. I think Sully's been so good. So he had a try. He had 13 runs, 145 metres. So he's averaging more than 10 metres per run, 39 post contact, two tackle breaks, two line breaks. Eight tackles, only one miss. Like, when it comes to New South Wales depth in the centres, It's pretty deep. It's pretty deep these days.
For me to associate the word consistency with him is unbelievable when you consider a couple of years ago. He is just improved out of sight, and you can tell that he has just gone away and worked on himself so hard.
Yeah, love it. Love it. Another guy as well, Ravalawa. Is he the most underrated wing is probably the wrong word, but he never – like he's this giant winger that in his out-of-trouble sets, like what he does, he's been – he was one of their better players last year. This year he's been great. Never gets spoken about, but he's another guy that, look, 16 – so he had a try, 16 runs, 159 metres, 47 post-contact, 6 tackle breaks, a line break. Like, put it this way. When Sivo had his run, everyone talked about it. You know, and rightly so. It's great. He's a good try scorer. Ravalawa, could you check how many tries he scored last week, last year? I think it was a fair few.
Yeah.
No one really talks about it.
And the thing about it this year where his try scoring has dried up, mate, the Dragons – so right edge dominant with Benny Hunt. Like Ravalawa was on the right wing last year. Dragons scored 55% of tries on the right last year, 27% on their left. Mm. He's obviously made the shift this year to the left wing, and Lomax has gone to the right. But he played Ravalawa right wing on the weekend, I believe.
Yep.
Again, found the stripe.
Yep.
So that's why there's been less tries. He's still playing good footy.
Yeah, and he just never gets talked about.
21 tries from 21 games.
Yeah, no one even talks about
it. So then this year, they've scored 71% of their tries on the right edge, 17 on the left.
Yeah.
So, and even when they do go left, it's often, you know, playing short Sully or bringing Sully under. So, not a great try scoring spot to be, but he's still playing good footy.
He's still playing good footy. And I just, you know, I think that he doesn't get the raps he deserves. So, you know, Benny Hunt, we've already spoken about him. That try that he scored, are you serious? Throwing blokes? Bruce, Dozer, settle down, brother.
Yeah.
Settle down, big fella.
Isn't it like...
That's all from the bucket.
And it's obviously changed now. It's a different situation. But, you know, a week ago, the big conversation about the Queensland Maroon side was how do you get Ponga and Walsh in? And like, I couldn't believe that some people were suggesting sacrificing Benny Hunt. No,
like, seriously,
way.
They're not serious people. If you seriously, well, what are we talking about here?
Yeah.
Ben Hunt, Harry Grant have been like the key to our bench. Anyway, Hammy, what do you think about the Dragons, mate?
Yeah, very good. And you've touched on a couple of guys in the back line there, Lomax, Sully. Probably having the best years of their career so far. Would that be fair to say, do you think?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, Lomax for sure.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Another guy who keeps improving a little bit. Okay, a couple of missed tackles on the weekend. He's had one or two missed games here or there. But Terrell Sloan.
I thought he's great.
Good moments as well. You know, yep. he had a try, line break assist, a try assist. He had a bad game a couple of weeks ago in the wet. But apart from that, I feel like he keeps improving each week as well. So a bit of a credit to Flano for getting the best out of a couple of guys, you know, in that back line. They seem like they're having, you know, their best year so far.
I feel like Sloan has just brought his game back a little bit and just simplified it.
I had Sloan jotted down as well, Hammy, and zero errors on the weekend.
Yep, zero errors.
I think it was one last week. Zero this week, had a try assist. It was a solid game, but just composure again was so... He's learning so much every week, and we've mentioned him a few times, but you've got to give credit to Shane Flanagan, who this bloke who seemed almost impossible to round him out as an NRL quality player week in, week out, because we know he had the flashes of brilliance. He's currently doing it with Terrell Sloan.
Yeah,
so absolutely. If he can keep this up, far out.
Yeah, no, it is really, really good stuff. I think it just seems like he's just almost taken a little bit of a step back with the attacking stuff, and he's just like, you know what, I just want to get through games by... just doing my job and everything can build off that. I thought Sloan was really good on the weekend. Really good. Now, on to the Warriors. It's such a weird one because I watched that game and I wasn't like, wow, Warriors are playing terribly. But I think that my big takeaway with the Warriors was, A, in that first 20 minutes or 15 minutes, they had quite a few opportunities that they should have iced that they didn't. If they had of, it would have been obviously a very different game. But... The vibe I was getting is that I kind of feel like the Warriors are at where the Panthers were about 4 years ago, where they had a game plan that if that didn't work, they really struggled to kind of, I guess, make it up on the go, or at least have a B game plan to go to and go, okay, let's try this. Because, you know, the Storm were always, and Cameron Smith has said this, when they went into big games, they would go against an opposition and they would say, basically, our number one goal is you will not beat us with your A game plan. If you can beat us with your B or your C game plan, fair enough. And, you know, Penrith Panthers, I felt like early on, when they got put under pressure and they had to play outside of their game plan, you know, especially in that grand final, which just things weren't going their way, they struggled a little bit. Cleary also, I think that he's, you know, the initial years of Cleary as he was learning was really good at structure, but if you mess with it a little bit, he would struggle. Obviously, he's developed now and learned, and he's much better at it. And I think with the Warriors, I was just kept watching that game. I go, look, being patient is all well and good, and you want to be patient, but I'm just seeing the same set over and over and over, and I felt like that the game wasn't going their way and they really needed to shift a gear a little bit and try something different, which, you know, it sounds like, well, come on, that's, you know, their game plan is what got them to where they're at. But I feel like the best teams, they obviously have a very clear number one game plan, but when the time calls for it, they're really good at changing things up.
It's a fascinating point, Kempy, because you're right, and 4 out of 5 times the Warriors' game plan will work and they have no need to go away from it. But, you know, they really were rattled in this one, and it's power through the middle, back three, big yardage coming out of their own end on kick returns. They dominate through. They'll often win a penalty or get a six again. They get into the opposition 20 and they just lay that left post and go back to the right, don't they?
Mm.
And that's good enough to work most of the time, but that's all they did on the weekend. And huge credit to the Dragons' left edge defence, because not many people can stop the Warriors' right. They didn't really – like, Dallin got the late try. They didn't really look like busting him. SJ scored very early on, and they just kept going. They kept going there. Tui Pilotto, who played on the left wing, he did a really good job jamming on Dallin or Chance, whoever it might have been. And they didn't – you're right. On this occasion, they didn't have a plan B.
Yeah, and I think that even now, look, I'm not a professional lip reader, so I could be wrong here. But after that first try, they had a shot on SJ, and he said, we keep going that side, don't get bored of that. That's what it looked like. He said, don't get bored. And they were, like, they were going to that side, like, all day long. And as it's, you don't want to go away from your game plan too soon, because then, but I do think that as a team, if they were to play this game in another 12 months, I think that as a team they have matured enough to go, oh, hang on a sec, this is not working for us for whatever reason, whether it's our ball playing, whether it's defence, whatever the reason is, let's try something different. Let's attack another weak point. Whereas I felt like they didn't really have that second. Whereas you look at Cleary nowadays, if you take one weapon away from him, he'll just start running the ball and he'll have like 170 run metres or something like that. Gurret, what are your thoughts?
It's the second time in 7 weeks that I've watched the Warriors in the first 15 minutes and they look so good that I go, they can't lose this.
Mm.
Like the same thing happened against the Sharks. That might have been round one or round two, where that first 15 minutes, they were just untouchable. I must wonder if they sort of, when they start like that, if they just think it is going to be a little bit easy to get it done, because they just weren't able to turn it around.
Well, I didn't see any complacency. I just saw a dogged commitment to, like, keep going back there. They'll break eventually, though, and which is good. It is good. I think sometimes you've got to go, okay, hang on a sec. It's just not working today.
Yeah, you don't want to be super critical, do you? Because there's times where I go, your edge is that good. Keep going back. Yeah. It will come. So I don't want to be like, I don't want to contradict what I've said in the past, but there has to be a plan B.
Mm.
I thought another little interesting thing that I noted, you know, just having a look at the stats. Fenua Blake had 26 runs. Barnett had 14. Toy Harris at 22. That's 62 runs between their starting middles. Their edges combined for 8 runs.
Yeah.
Ford had 3, Capel had 5.
Yeah, it's
remarkable.
Like their forwards were absolutely outstanding. And you got to look at their backs as well. Obviously, Chance had, you know, 258 metres. Wateni Zalesniak only 103. Roger, 142, which is decent.
Boys, they have to work out how to get Roger into the game more. Like, he just sits on the left edge, and it's just, like, they don't even, off the back of what we just said about it's all about right edge and setting up the shape for that, they just go over there and they might bring him under or lay one for him so they can set up there and go to the right. He gets very little opportunity out there.
I haven't really seen plays set up for Roger yet.
There isn't one.
Yeah.
They occasionally go across and just bring him under, which is great because you get him in that broken field play. But I just think they're wasting one of the best talents in the game. And I just think they need to get him engaged more.
Yeah. I think, look, I don't think it's as bad a loss as, you know, some may think it is. Like, they look at the Dragons, they go, oh, Dragons are, you know, but Dragons are a much better side than, you know, what we've given them credit for heading into the season. On top of that, the Dragons played absolutely outstanding, in my opinion. And so what I like about it is the fact that they didn't get flustered. So I'm almost double speaking here. I'm saying they should have had a plan B. But I think that this version of the Warriors can go deep into the finals. I think the next version is, can you react to the game and have something else set up to take advantage of the thing that's not necessarily going your way? So it's like, it's obviously disappointing, the loss, they were flying so high. But at the same time, like, I didn't watch that game and go, oh, geez, they're giving up here and he's not having a crack and they don't want to win this and they're just going, oh, you know what, this one's not working, see you later. I did feel like they had a crack for the 80 minutes. I just felt like that, you know, we have to remember, Flano's a premiership winning coach. Like, that's obviously doesn't come easy. But also, like, he's a smart coach too. Like, he knows how to take away weapons from teams. We're talking about a coach that went into a grand final against the Melbourne Storm. And basically, that grand final loss, guess what happened? The Storm went back to the drawing board and said, we need to completely change our game plan because it's not working anymore. They completely changed the way they played. They came out, obviously, and won the next year. And they became more of an attacking threat than they were. So you have to give credit to the fact that Flano, like, he is a smart coach. Like, he knows how to – he's a good game planner. So that I think that those kind of games in 12 months' time, I think the Warriors actually – do find a way to win them. I think just at the moment, they're in those early stages of progression as a unit.
And I think you do just need to give full credit to the Dragons. I mean, they're, you know, one of the few sides in the competition that has a genuine, real quality seven. They've also got the guy leading the Dalian medal. And I mean, like, it always takes me by surprise, but they always have two or three games at home each year where the Dragons put on a cracking performance. Like, they beat the Melbourne Storm last year at home from memory. Like, they've always just got that game in them at home.
Yeah. Yeah, so I wouldn't be too disappointed as Warriors fans. Like, you know, NRL is tough. Sometimes things just don't go your way. What I do like, though, was like when the game was on the line, you could see all the Warriors players reacting to it. You could see the desperation in their runs. You could see the fact that they didn't just allow the game to go, okay, this is just one that's not working for us. And I like that. Like Adam Fanua-Blake, I think it was his second stint. You could see the desperation in his running. You could see the fact that he was going, I need to make a difference. You could see SJ, really kind of just the urgency in the way they're playing. That's what I like from the Warriors.
Good teams in the NRL, like when you have one down week, it doesn't concern me one bit. It is one of the most physical sports in the world. It is a ridiculously long season. There are 27 regular season weeks before finals.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Disregarding maybe Penrith, who are just a phenomenon, every team has a down week.
Yeah.
It is going to happen. You're not going to get up every week. If you do, like, it's just not going to happen. So, you know, if they back this up next week with another poor performance on Thursday, the Anzac Day clash, all right, then there's a few alarm bells. But one bad game, it happens.
Yeah.
Special shout out to the Warriors too, their first year in the Harold Matthews Cup. So, you know, the 16-year-olds playing in that, they're going to be flying over this week to play at CommBank Stadium in the grand final.
And they beat last year's winners.
Yep.
The Doggies.
Canterbury. Now, also worth noting, there's another Laban in this side too, another back rower. Another one coming through.
What?
Desmond Laban.
Oh, man.
Desmond.
They just get a double Laban back row in a couple of years.
Wow. I mean, Warriors fans, we just talked about, you know, obviously not good that you had the loss, but not too worrying. The fact that in the first year, your younger sides are winning comps, like the Warriors as a club, I'm just going to go out on a limb and say it, have never been in a better position.
Yeah.
Not even close.
Dare I say 4 years ago, they were probably in the worst position a club's ever been. Living out of a suitcase with no juniors, with no home. Phil Gould walked out of the club. Peter O'Sullivan walked out of the club.
Toddy Payton didn't want to sign as a coach, even though they wanted him at the time.
It's actually amazing that they're in the spot.
It's incredible. It's incredible.
Like SJ's career was about to finish.
Yeah.
They
just signed literally New Zealand captain Fisher Harris, which is insane.
How about getting that replacement? How are they going to replace, AFB and then bang?
There was only genuinely two humans on this planet they could have replaced him with. But I would have gone, okay, fuck, well
done. It also keeps their acronym numbers high as well.
Yeah.
Which is a like-for-like, which is exciting.
Well, I think that's why they didn't sign Payne Haas. It's because he didn't have the...
Not cut from the
didn't
right
fit
cloth.
The quota.
Yeah, exactly. And about...
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.